One. Because when you're flying over the ocean, you're going to be going so fast and the wind's going to be so much. How am I going to hold on? I'll fly off and fall in the ocean to be devoured by the whales and the tin and gillifish and the aquatic monsters. And besides that, if you're flying me with me on your back, the Rakshasas will see you, and all Ravana's armies will come to attack you. And how will you fight with all of them with me on your back? And besides that, I vowed never to touch another man except my beloved Ram. But most important, for Ram's fame forever, it is necessary for him to come and conquer Ravana. Therefore, go back and send him my love and these gifts. And tell him, I don't know how much longer I could survive in his separation. Please come soon. Hanuman went back into his little monkey's eyes and bowed his head to Sita. He wanted to see the power of Ravana's forces. He wanted to see what was going on more detailed in Sri Lanka. And most of all, he wanted to meet Ravana face to face and reveal his heart. So Hanuman started ripping trees right out of their roots and throwing them. This was Ravana's favorite garden. And he was very attached to it. Ripping, ripping! And then very beautiful little sitting places that he was demolishing with his fists. And the Rakshasi women, they heard all this. And they reported it to Ravana, that there's this monkey in your garden who's creating havoc. Ravana sent some soldiers to kill the monkey. But Hanuman effortlessly did away with them. When he heard this, it's of iron like a rod, and he assumed a bigger size. He was roaring, Jairam, Jairam, come and get me! And with that rod, within minutes, he annihilated all the 80,000 soldiers. This came back to Ravana. He was really angry. By this time, Hanuman climbed to a beautiful temple made out of ivory and gold and jewels. It was one of Ravana's favorite places. Hanuman pulverized it. There's nothing left of it but rubble. When Ravana heard this, he sent Jambuvali, one of his most powerful generals, with an army. Hanuman slayed him. This was becoming very serious. He was sending general after general with armies, and Hanuman, Prince Aksha, attacked. It was a great fight. He was shooting arrows that were covering Hanuman's body, causing him to bleed. And Hanuman started fighting against him, and wherever Hanuman went, he kept covering and covering him from head to his feet with arrows. He was tormenting Hanumanji. They were both fighting in the sky. Hanuman decided, this is enough of this demon. He grabbed Prince Aksha by the legs, whirled him around, came back down to the ground. Hanuman
21 keys. Aksha, all his limbs were disjointed, his head was cracked. It was a formidable battle. Indrajit had a Brahmastra that was predominant violence of monkeys, stronger than me, and beyond them is the Supreme Lord, the all-powerful Ram and Lakshman. Give back Sita, or you will die with everyone in your family. Ravana could not tolerate this. Kill this monkey! Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, said, according to the Kshatriya codes, you cannot kill the messenger of your enemy. He's just giving you his message. You can beat him, but you can't kill him. Ravana said, monkeys are very proud and attached to their tails. Light his tail on fire. Drag him through the streets of Sri Lanka to humiliate him, tied with ropes, and certainly he will be tortured, mutilated, and killed, and if he escapes, there'll be nothing left of him. They took cloth and wrapped large quantities of cloth around his tail, and then soaked it in oil and lit it on fire. They brought him out to the streets, beating him. Ramana was just looking around and seeing what life was all about. Meanwhile, Sujata and Sharma, the wife and daughter of Vibhishan, they were Sita's dear friends. They had told her what was happening. But Sita was thinking that my little Hanuman, his tail is on fire. With tears of love in her eyes, she prayed to Agni, the god presiding over fire. Please do not give Hanuman any pain. Let the fire on his tail feel cool and refreshing. Hanuman could feel this blazing fire on his tail, and it felt really cool. He immediately understood that this must be the prayers of Sita. And he reduced himself in size and slipped right out of the ropes around him and jumped to the top of the building. Now a devotee, in any situation, sees how I can best serve Krishna in this situation. So his tail's on fire. Instead of thinking, oh, how horrible, my tail is on fire, he was thinking, I can use this fire for Ram's service. So he just touched his tail to the building. The whole building went on fire. He jumped to the next building and went to the next. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buildings blazing on fire. Rakshasas were burning alive, jumping out of windows, screaming horrible pain. He was terrorizing Sri Lanka in a very good way. And it was with the fire that Ravana himself set on his tail. This is a principle of Dharma. When we do something against someone who is dear to the Lord, that very thing we do will undo us. There are many stories in the scriptures of when someone sends a mystical weapon at someone. If it doesn't kill the person, it comes back to kill you. When we cause harm to anyone, there's laws of karma. For every action, there's equal reaction. Either in this life or in another life, any pain will cause it for Krishna. So a large portion of the city of Sri Lanka is blazing with fire. And Hanuman was watching it all. When he went on top of a mountain and screamed out, Jai Ram! Said, Ravana, the people of Lanka, I am just one insignificant servant, and this is what I have done to you, Sri. Give that Sita a rush or...
Suddenly they saw in the sky the form of...
They were jumping and celebrating, and when Hanuman came down, they all went and embraced him.
And he told the whole story to Angada and all of his colleagues. Angada said, now that we know everything, let's go. I'm ready to fight against Ravana. Let's bring Sita back. Hanuman said, no, she wants only Ram to bring her back. They went back to Kishkinda, to Sugriva's favorite forest called Madhuban, where there were fragrant flowers and luscious fruits. And Sugriva was really attached to that forest. And they were having a victory celebration. So he ran and told Sugriva, these Angada and Hanuman, they are destroying your Madhuban forest. We have to do something about it. And Sugriva said, if they're in such a happy mood, that means they must be successful in finding Sita. Let us rejoice. Go and tell them to come to meet Ram and myself. So he went back and begged forgiveness and said, Sugriva's very happy. He wants you to come. And along with Sugriva, they went to the top of the mountain called Prashravana, or Malyavanta. Tears in his eyes and his heart melting with gratitude. Listen to everything. Hanuman told him the message of Sita. Every single word she said. And then he told Ram all about his meeting with Ravana and his burning the city. He gave Ram the yellow jewel. Maharaj Janaka. And Maharaj Janaka, on the day of our marriage, gave this jewel to Sita. Possibly done it. And you did it. Hanuman, you have gone way beyond the call of, but I'm living in exile in the forest. I have nothing to give you. All I have, Hanuman. He put his arms around Hanuman and pressed Hanuman intimately to his own heart. All I have to give you is my loving embrace. Hanuman considered this the supreme fortune.
Nadanam majanam sundarim kavitam vajukadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rohaita kitvayi.
Lord Chaitanya taught us this principle. I do not want wealth or the beautiful not one thing. Let me be your should be to become the dust at the feet of Rup and Raghunath Das Goswami. That means to see the greatest honor, the greatest privilege, and the greatest of all goals to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees. In that embrace, Sri Ramchandra awarded Hanuman the ultimate elevated position of the servant of the Lord. Samsadhir Haritoshanam. The supreme perfection of everything we do is according to how we please Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Hanuman conquered Ramchandra's heart. This is the power of devotion. When the gopis of Vrindavan, simple ladies, girls, left their homes in the dark of the night, hearing the call of Krishna's divine flute, they took all risks and renounced everything to give Krishna pleasure. In the same spirit, on the deepest level, Krishna confessed to the gopis, your love for me is so pure. You've given up everything for my pleasure. I have no power to repay you. Even with all that I have in all the material and spiritual worlds, for an entire lifetime of Brahma. He is Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. He's the controller of all controllers. Tumi Sarveshwari, for their love. In Sri Ram's embrace of Hanuman, he revealed this most intimate secret of all secrets, the highest revelation in all the Vedas to the world, that bhakti, which culminates in prema, eternal satisfaction of the soul, nothing else could give such happiness. How can I repay you? You have saved two lives. If you would not have come back when you came back with this message from Sita, both Lakshman and myself would not have been able to survive. And then Ram looked around to all of his devotees surrounding him and said, I'm very concerned.
Don't know how, but we will do it. We are your servants. You will empower us. Maybe we'll build a bridge, something, but we'll do it. Have no hesitation. Be happy. Let's go.
With Ram's order, all the Vanara dynasty marched to the sea. It seemed forever. His lamentation and separation from Sita filled his heart. How to cross the sea. Meanwhile, Ravana's spies, headed by Sardula, reported to him that there are, they were very powerful, and killed my own son, killed some of our greatest generals, and tens and thousands of our soldiers, one monkey, and now I'm being given the information that there are millions and millions of monkeys the same size as him. And Ram and Lakshman it is said by wise men that a first-class leader does not make a major decision without first consulting with an open mind. Wise, experienced ministers, depending on the higher power of God or Providence, for the right direction. A second-class leader, by his own intelligence, searches his own heart of what's best to do, and then takes full responsibility after considering everything. And a third-class leader is one who hastily attacks or does something serious without due consideration of the balance of the pluses and minuses. They were hungry for war. They said, "We have no fear. Ravana, you yourself are the most powerful person in the entire universe. You don't even need any help from anyone." You went to Kailash and challenged Kuvera, who was surrounded by armies of yakshas. And single-handedly, you destroyed them, defeated them. You took the city of Kuvera, Sri Lanka, and the Pushpaka, his aerial airplane. You went to the abode of the Nagas, defeated them. They could not stand before you. You wreaked so much fear in the great, powerful Maya Danava that just to appease you, he gave his wife, his own daughter, the beautiful Mandodari, to be your wife. And Ravana, besides terrifying the demigods and defeating Indra himself, you have caused Yamaraj, the god of death, to flee in fear of you. You have nothing to worry. Prahasta, the commander-in-chief of all of Ravana's armies, he stood up and raised his weapon with a roaring voice, said, "We will destroy them. Nothing can touch us. You are so powerful, Ravana, that your anger will burn them like fire. The only reason that insignificant monkey was able..." "Tell me, Ravana." He stood up and showed everyone his club. He said, "Let us do this. Let's take. They were
profusely about what they could do and who they were and what they have done.
Finally, Vibhishan stood up, the younger brother of Ravana. He waited for everyone else to speak when it was silent. He spoke the truth. Isavana, the Rakshasas are sinful. We cannot stand before him. These men are not your friends. All of these generals are simply telling you what you want to hear. They are not speaking the truth. Arm within begins to empower Ravana and bring about auspiciousness. Vibhishan then entered into Ravana's personal chambers. He had a private meeting with him. He said, I am your brother. Trust me. I love you. I love our race. I have been faithful to you and stood beside you for all of these years through all of your ups and downs and rights and wrongs. Trust me. Don't you see what's before your own eyes? Ever since the day Sita came into Sri Lanka, there has been the most inauspicious omens. When the Brahmins tried to do their fire yajnas, fire doesn't come out, only sparks. The wood doesn't even burn. And all around, throughout Sri Lanka, we hear the braying of asses, the bewing of jackals, the cawing of crows and vultures. At night, there's inauspicious constellations and shooting stars. In the day, there's a dark halo around the sun. Don't you see it? Every day, return Sita to Ram and live. Otherwise, everyone will die. Please hear from me. Ravana was very disturbed. He said to Vibhishan, why do you question my prowess? No one can defeat me. I will defeat Ram. Single-handedly, I can wipe out that monkey army. Why do you question me? I cannot give Sordid a magnificent chariot. Should I continue? Thank you. Should I continue? Sorry. Ravana looked at all of them. I cannot give her up. It is not a choice. It is impossible for me. They are assembling. We must fight them. There will be war. Now tell me what you think. Kumbhakarna stood up. can imagine the size of this assembly hall.
I call you a fool. Why didn't you consult with us before you went and stole Sita? You went on your own. Had Maricha disguise himself as a deer, then you disguised yourself as a sadhu, then you stole Sita away when Ram was away? Now Ram and Lakshman with millions and millions and millions of powerful soldiers are coming to attack the city because of your misdeed. Why didn't you ask us before you did that? You hastily, whimsically performed such a hideous deed of immorality. But what's done is done. By your good fortune, you have a brother like me. If it is your wish to fight this war, I am your obedient. We will fight this war, and I will personally eat the flesh and drink the blood of Ram, Lakshman, and all these monkeys. Have no fear. Kumbhakarna could sense the power of Ram. He had wisdom. But he was speaking what he was supposed to speak before Ravana. After that, all the others started getting up and bragging about how they were going to conquer them. Mahaparshva, with a loud voice, said to Ravana, "Why don't you just enjoy Sita by force? Why all these formalities? You are hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than her. Each of your 10 arms has more strength than 10,000 elephants. She's just a beautiful little girl. Enjoy her." Ravana heard this and said, "Today, I must reveal to you a secret that I have not told anyone ever before. Long ago, the Apsara woman, Ramba, infatuated my senses. But she would have nothing to do with me. I chased after her and forcibly enjoyed her. Hysterically, after being raped by me, she ran away to her husband, Nala Kuvera, and then they went to Lord Brahma. Nala Kuvera was so devastated by my misdeed that he cursed me that if I ever tried to enjoy a woman by force without her independent consent, then my head would break into 100 pieces and die. And Lord Brahma, who is the bestower of the benedictions that makes me so powerful, he confirmed that curse upon me. Therefore, I cannot take her by force. She has to submit to me. And she will never submit to me as long as she has the false hopes that Ram will save her." After that, Indrajit and all the others, they were actually proud of Ravana after hearing that. "We are all with you. Never return Sita. Don't even think about it. We will fight and win for you."
Vibhishan stood up and tried again. He looked at his brother and said,
"Who has put this venomous serpent around you? Sita is like a serpent. Her charming smile are her fangs. Her shapely form are her coils. And her chaste, faithful love for Ram are the venomous poison that is going to be the cause of your death. Give up Sita and live."
By fighting against Ram, you are putting a noose around your own neck. When he was speaking these words, Indrajit was outraged.
Screamed out, "Vibhishana, you are my uncle. You are my youngest uncle. I am ashamed of you. Despicable. You are a representative of the Rakshasa race. Rakshasas are courageous, heroic. You are a coward, bowing down to mere mortals. Have you no faith in my father? Have you no faith in the power of our armies? I myself kicked down Aravata, the elephant carrier of Indra, pulled out, broke his tusks, and made him cry. With my own hands, I dashed Indra to the ground, who pleaded for mercy from me. I have defeated the Devas. No one can stand before my wrath. I am a hero. You are a coward. I am ashamed of you." Vibhishan chastised Indrajit. "You are a mere ignorant boy, immature and foolish. Speaking with such ignorance, although Ravana is your father and you are his son, you are acting as his greatest enemy. All of you in this assembly hall, you are his ministers, you are his advisors. You should speak to him the truth. If you see him running into fire, stop him. Don't tell him you're so great, go ahead. You have no integrity." "Indrajit, you are an ignorant, evil, despiteful, envious wretch. And you deserve to die. And you will." When Ravana heard Vibhishan speaking like this to his son, he became furious. He stared into Vibhishan's eyes and said, "It is better to live with a venomous snake than someone who is taking shelter of your enemy." "Although you are my brother,
you are envious of me. This is what happens in this world.
younger brothers become envious of their older brothers when they see their success, their power, and their fame. You do not know that Vibhishan, everything you have, I have given you. Whatever you are, I have made you. Yet you are so ungrateful, unappreciative, that you are speaking such ignorant words like a man about to die. If you were not my brother, I would kill you right now. I reject you. I cannot tolerate seeing your envious face. You are a traitor. You are a friend of the enemy. Get out from here. Sounds very much like Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad, does it not? There are universal consistent principles that demoniac people live by throughout history. Our own seriousness in our spiritual practice. We are meant to cultivate and give strength to our divine nature. Bill Sita. Then there is her brother Ravana, who wanted to enjoy Sita and kill Ram. And then there is Vibhishan, brother of the same family, who wanted to return Sita to Ram and offer love and devotion. We can cleanse the heart of the anartas of Ravana and Supanaka, trying to enjoy the goddess of fortune without the Lord. By taking shelter of the Lord himself. And in this age of Kali, the Lord is there to annihilate these demons within and empower the Vibhishan, the Hanuman, the divinity, chastised by his brother Ravana in this way. Vibhishan and his four faithful ministers ascended into the above the ground into the sky. But I have wealth, everything I have, and renounce you. Ravana was very happy. Without Vibhishan, with those four ministers, they were very big in size. They were in. I am the brother of Ravana. Ravana is the one who abducted Sita in the most heinous way. He is the one that killed the great Jatayu. And now he is to give my heart and take shelter of the Supreme Lord of my heart and my life, Sri Ramchandra. Please bring me to Lord Ram. It was his duty. Sugriva went to Ram and told him, Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, has come. He says he wants to take shelter of you. Ram said, I trust all of you. Everyone, please give me your opinions, what you think I should do. Sugriva said, we cannot trust him. He's a Rakshasa by race. He's the brother of Ravana. We know these Rakshasas. And in due course of time, he's going to turn against us. He's going to divide us by spreading horrible propaganda. He is dangerous.
We should kill him immediately. That is my opinion.
Another monkey came forward and said, I don't mind killing him, but he cannot be trusted. If we want to be lenient, we should test him. We should have spies around him at every moment. Let's give him some missions to perform. And with spies constantly investigating every word and every action, we'll see if he's really real. And after passing all these tests, then we can consider accepting him. Jambavan spoke, who was known for his wisdom. He said, no, I don't believe in all this investigating. We should just not trust this man. We should send him back. After all, he's been faithfully serving Ravana for all these years, even to the 10 months of Sita's abduction. And now that Ravana disagrees with him and speaks harshly of him, he rejects his own brother. He rejects his own king because he's been harshly spoken of. A man who's so unfaithful, how can we trust him? No, we should reject him.
Ram turned to Hanuman. I trust your wisdom and your words. What do you think?
Hanuman said, Ram, you are the Supreme Lord. You are all-knowing. Everything is known to you. But it is your nature to ask us our opinion. So I will honestly give you my own. I have seen Vibhishan. I examined his face, his subtle expressions, and listened to the tones of his voice. He's an honest man. He has no duplicity. He has come to surrender his life to you. In Sri Lanka, I was told by Sita that Vibhishan was constantly advising Ravana to send her back to you. In that Ashokavan where Sita is being tormented, it is Sharama, Vibhishan's wife, who is Sita's very best well-wishing friend, who consoles her and helps her in every way to live. We should trust him. We should immediately accept him to be one of our own family, as a brother. He wants shelter. Please give him shelter.
Ram very much appreciated Hanuman's words. He said, anyone who comes to me for shelter, I must give them shelter. Whether they have good intentions or bad intentions, I have to give them shelter. It is my nature. When Sugriva heard this, he went wild.
He said, good intentions or bad intentions? Whether they make mistakes or not mistakes, how could you speak like this? This man is a demon. This man is a Rakshasa. He is Ravana's brother. Even if he's sincere now, in the midst of the battle, he's going to eventually side with Ravana. Because the thickness of the blood of family relationships is very, very deep. He cannot be trusted.
Ravana then spoke his immortal words. Quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Quoted on several occasions in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Ram said, anyone, whoever they may be, who sincerely takes shelter of me and honestly says, even once, from this day on, my Lord, I am yours, I must give that person all shelter and protection forever. I declare this vow before all of you. Even if Ravana himself came to me today to take shelter of me with a sincere and honest heart, I would accept him and give him all protection and shelter for all of eternity. This is my vow. Bring Vibhishan to me now. Upon hearing this, Sugriva, Jambavan, and all the monkeys were weeping in ecstasy to see the nature of Ram's mercy to the most fallen. In great joy, they cried out, Jai Shri Ram! Who could be more merciful than you? It is this nature of your mercy for whoever takes shelter of you that is our only qualification. Sugriva realized he made a lot of mistakes and he made offenses against Bali, his brother. But despite all of his mistakes, when he took shelter of Ram, he became completely purified as a pure devotee because the Lord accepted him. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye sachima suchaha. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita reveals this eternal truth. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. For one who surrenders to me, I will relieve them of all sinful reactions and give them protection forever. One who, the Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond that. One who surrenders to Krishna with a sincere and earnest heart, Krishna gives his heart, himself, to that devotee forever. Dina hina yata chilo harinama utharilo. Even people who have committed the most heinous mistakes and sins like Jagai and Madhai. What were the qualifications of Jagai and Madhai? What does it actually mean to surrender? It's not just words. To take shelter means to sincerely repent for one's past misgivings. To vow to give up one's misbehavior and to give one's heart to take shelter of the Lord who has appeared in his holy names. Much louder, please. Vibhishan comes. He descends from the sky with his four ministers. takes off his crown, offers his full prostrations at Ram's lotus feet, weeping with humility. On his knees, Vibhishan told, "I am the brother of Ravana. I've tried in every way I could to speak the truth to my brother, but he has rejected me. I have abandoned my family, my home, the dynasty that I was born and raised into. My Lord, now I stand before you with absolutely nothing. The only thing I have is the shelter of your lotus feet. I surrender everything, my body, my mind, my heart, my words to you. Please accept me." And I vow to assist you in every way to bring Sita back into your embrace. Ram told Vibhishan, "I accept you." In the days to come, I will conquer Ravana and all those who support him and make you the king of Sri Lanka. Sri Ramchandra advised Lakshman to bring water from the sea. Then Ram took that water to officially consecrate Vibhishan as the unrivaled king of Sri Lanka. Vibhishan, on his knees with folded hands and his head down in humility, accepted whatever Ram wanted him to do to serve, while all the monkey soldiers were dancing in ecstasy, chanting the Lord's holy name. Vibhishan was asked by Lord Ramchandra, "How are we possibly going to cross over the sea?" Different monkeys were giving different opinions. One of them said, "We should just get millions of boats." But Ram trusted Vibhishan. Vibhishan said, "Ram, you are setting the example of the perfect human being in this incarnation. Ask Samudra, the god of the sea, how this could be done." Lord Sri Ram asked Lakshman to bring kusha grass. Sitting on the kusha grass facing the east, he lay down, meditating on praying for the Lord of the Sea to come before him. Just as he was about to do this, Ravana heard from Sardula about
the amazing quantity of soldiers that were fighting for Ram.
He told one of the most powerful of the Rakshasas, who was really a mystic
and who Ravana really trusted,
his name was Shuka, go
in disguise
and tell Sugriva that I am personally giving him the message, I have never done anything against you.
So what if I abducted Sita? What do you care for that? I have the most powerful armies. We have conquered the gods.
Don't fight against me. I will be your friend. I will reward you abundantly. Reject this mortal Ram and go back to Kishkinda. As soon as he said that, the monkeys leaped up. He was in the form of a gigantic bird, speaking from the sky, giving this message. Shuka came down and gave this message. And the monkeys jumped up in the air and grabbed the bird and threw him on the ground and said, and here was Shuka, is trembling in fear, about to lose his life. Ram said, he has taken shelter of me. Release him. So
this, I hate him. He is my enemy, and I will destroy him personally unless he brings Sita back.
Shuka went back to tell Ravana. He was trembling. He said, Ravana, please give Sita back. There is no way that we can stand before them without being annihilated. Ravana was so angry at him. How could you say things like this against me? You are an ignorant fool. Just because you've been beat up, you've lost your intelligence.
Meanwhile, Ram sat on the kusha grass. For 3 days, waiting for the ocean to appear to tell how to cross the Indian Ocean. We will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Gauravani Prabhu here, and my godbrothers, please come. And god sisters.
Thank you.